Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Today's Sunday, October the 27th, 2024. We're going to be reading a parable in Matthew's Gospel, but first, let's look at a familiar scripture in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is where we're going to begin. God gave us human beings free will, right? We can believe anything we want to believe. But free will to do that. That doesn't mean that everything you believe is true. We just have the freedom to believe whatever we want to. In Proverbs 12, it says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." The counsel meaning God's word. That's where we get wisdom. But a fool is right in his own eyes, which is really, that's what the serpent told Eve, wasn't it? You'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. You'll know. You'll know what's good and what's evil. You'll know. You don't need anyone else telling you what's good or right. You'll be able to know. You'll just know it, because you'll be so smart. That's kind of where we see culture today and for the past hundreds of years. Every man's right in his own eyes. But meanwhile, the Lord Jesus Christ said, God's word is truth. Right? And there's many other places in the Bible where it talks about how the scriptures are true, able to make one wise. But we're going to look here in 2 Timothy, because there's great profit to us in every category of our life from believing the scriptures. And this morning, we're going to consider the great profit to us from believing the scriptures. And in 2 Timothy 3, we're going to start in, well, we might as well start in verse 13. "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And he's talking to Timothy here, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, the scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, all of it, is given by inspiration of God. And I think you know that those words, given by inspiration of God, is one word in the Greek, theopneustos. All scripture, God breathed, meaning God spoke it. Because when you speak, you breathe. All scripture, God breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Doctrine is right teaching. Reproof shows us where we're missing it. And then the correction gets us back on track with believing rightly. And all of that is instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And the word perfect and the word furnished are both basically the same word. So if they would have been consistent, that the man of God may be perfect, truly perfected, or that the man of God may be furnished, truly furnished unto good works. And it's really interesting, that word furnished means completely fitted out. Like if you were going camping, it would be everything you needed for that camping trip. Oh, we forgot the stove. Or if you were, you know, taking a ship somewhere, you would have everything that you needed fully furnished, that the man of God or the woman of God may be furnished, truly furnished unto all good works. God's word, rightly understood, is very profitable to the end that we would be furnished, completely furnished. But in order to gain the profit from the scriptures, they need to be believed. Look at, before we go to the parable, look at Hebrews, just a little ways down the road there. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Another familiar verse, verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 4. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them that heard it. It didn't profit them, not being mixed with believing in them that heard it. You could read the whole Bible 3 times, 5 times, cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation. You can go to church every Sunday and even on Wednesdays if you want. You can take 50 Bible classes without believing God's word. It's not enough to read it or hear it, but without believing God's word, the profit that God would want you to have in your life, in my life, will not be there. It's believing God's word. So let's read this familiar parable in Matthew chapter 13. This parable is also recorded in the Gospel of Mark and also in Luke, but we're just going to read this parable from Matthew 13. Everybody there? Okay. Matthew 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, for they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they're scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus Christ in that ship spoke this parable and then said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Was he speaking to a group of deaf people and maybe somebody there could hear? Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Was this a group of foreigners from Egypt somewhere? No. For you and for me, when we read or hear God's word, do we have ears to hear? The disciples came, verse 10, and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why do you do parables all the time? And here's the reason. He tells you. He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you. You who? The disciples. Meaning the disciplined ones. The ones that were there to learn, wanting to grow. It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it's not given. For whosoever hath what? Ears to hear. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Abundance of what? To know, understanding. Know the mysteries of the kingdom, to get understanding. But whosoever hath not, doesn't have ears to hear, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And the reason they don't understand, it wasn't like it was a foreign language. The reason they didn't understand is they didn't have ears to hear. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Look back again at verse 15. This people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. You see, it's a heart issue. They heard the words. They absolutely heard the words, but this people's heart is waxed gross. Remember what we just read in Hebrews 4? The gospel was preached unto us as unto them, but it didn't profit them, not being mixed with believing. Right. It's a heart issue. Keep your finger here. We're going to look at a verse in Matthew 15, right around the corner. Matthew 15. Can read this whole record sometime, but verse 8, it says, this people draws nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me. We're in Matthew 15, 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's a heart issue. The disciples weren't perfect people. They made mistakes. They screwed up. But they had eyes to see and they had ears to hear. They accepted and believed the words that Jesus Christ spoke. And they had a desire to learn, to grow. And that's why they were disciples, not multitude. It was the disciples that asked Jesus Christ, why are you doing parables? The disciples asked questions. What does that parable mean? Somebody from the multitude could have come up and said, I really want to understand more. That's, I guess, why they're called the disciples. They're a little more disciplined. Back to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. It's interesting in another gospel, I don't know, it might be in Luke's gospel, where it says that they asked Jesus Christ, explain to us the parable of the sower. And he said, how is it you don't understand this parable? If you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand all the parables? So it's a pretty important parable. So we continue on in verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Hear ye. Who? The disciples. The disciples. When any one hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. No ears to hear at all. It says in Corinthians, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. So that's the first group. Verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word, and anon immediately with joy receives it. Wow, this is great. I never knew that. Wow, that's how you get born again. Really? Wow, that's salvation? Whoa, that's kind of cool. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endures for a while, for when tribulation, mental pressure, or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. The word offended means to begin to distrust and desert one whom he ought to trust and obey. It's kind of interesting, the Greek word, we get the English word scandal from it. Scandalizo. It's kind of interesting, right? They believed the word, okay, this is great, but they don't make the time to get rooted in God's word. And you know, and I know, that takes effort. That takes time. It takes a heart that wants to know and understand. That's how you get rooted. It doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen automatically. But a heart that wants to learn and grow. For those that don't get rooted, when mental pressure or persecution because of the word, they leave, they desert. There's a record in, I thought about this morning when I was walking. There's a record in John 6 you can read sometime where Jesus Christ was saying some things and they said, this is a hard saying. I don't know about this. And he said, does this offend you? Same word. Does this offend you? And in that record, it says, from that day, many of his disciples walked no more with him. They left. Which is this word. Begin to distrust and desert one whom he ought to trust and obey. They left. And then Jesus looked at the 12 and said, you want to leave too? Jesus Christ wasn't trying to win a popularity contest. Wasn't trying to see, let's see how many people we can get. We had 5,000 that one time. Let's see if we can get 10,000. Maybe we can get 20. Maybe we can fill an arena. That wasn't his goal, right? So, back to verse 21 again. When tribulation or persecution arises for the word, by and by he's offended. Next group. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. No fruit. No profit. The care of this world, deceitfulness of riches. And again, it's a heart issue. It's really a heart issue where God is not first above everything else. What did Jesus Christ say the first and great commandment is? Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. God number one, above everything and everyone else. God first. And yeah, of course there's cares in this life, things that we have to take care of. Of course God doesn't want us to be poor. But unless we put God above all else in our lives, other things will choke the word. And the result will be no fruit, no profit in our lives. That was the third group. Hallelujah, the fourth group, verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understandeth it. And the reason being because he has ears to hear. Hears the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth. Some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. These are those that do have eyes to see and ears to hear. They have a heart open to God. They're people who accept and believe the word of God. And for them, fruitful, profit in their lives. And what follows is Jesus Christ speaking a number of parables that day. We're not going to read them, but we're going to go to the end of this chapter. The end of this chapter, and we're going to go to verse 53. Because something very interesting is recorded after this parable of the sower and then some other parables regarding the kingdom of God. But remembering what we read in that parable of the sower, verse 53, it came to pass that when Jesus had finished those parables, or these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. So he's back home, back in Nazareth. Insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? That's Joe's kid. What is he doing there in the synagogue? This is Joe's kid. Is not his mother called Mary? Yeah, that's Mary's boy. And his brothers, James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas. He had four brothers. And his sisters, at least two, it's plural. Are they not all, we know the whole family. Whence then hath this man all these things? I'm not getting it. You know, I watched the kid grow up. I know his mother. I know his brothers and sisters. What is he doing there? And look at the next verse. They were offended in him. That's that same word. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save or except. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Still true today. Ever hear stories about the preacher's daughter? Oh well. A prophet's not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Look at what they missed out on. How profitable believing could have been for them. What great deliverance they could have had with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, right there. They could have. And you see, it was a heart issue. They did not believe in Jesus Christ, and they did not believe the words that Jesus Christ was speaking. This is Joe's kid. This is, oh my goodness. So how important it is for us to believe God's word. How profitable it is for us in our everyday lives to believe God's word, to accept God's word as true. So, let's just read again verse 18 before we close. Verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word, we're in same chapter, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he that receives seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and he bringeth forth some an hundredfold, and some 60, and some 30. You know, in the last couple of weeks, we've talked a lot about having humility toward God, reverence toward God. what you think in your heart about the Bible, the scriptures, the Word of God, what you think in your heart about the Bible says a lot about what you think of God. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 22 that the written scriptures was God speaking to you. What a way to put it. God speaking to you. And yet, what do we refer to this book many times as? The Word of God. The Word of God. That's not just a nice cliche. That's absolutely accurate. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And when it's rightly understood, we have the words of God. And it was written for us, for those that want to believe. So whenever we open the book and read, it is God speaking to us. It's our Father's words to us. Remember we read earlier, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. There are people that say, I believe in God. Well, of course I believe in God. Yes, there's God. Of course. I love God. I love God. And what do you think of the Bible? Well, it's nice. It's a good book. It's, you know, there's... You know, we don't worship this book, but we recognize that the words in this book, when they're rightly understood, is God speaking to us. And that's why I said, what you think in your heart about this book says a lot about what you really think of God Almighty. And really, a big part of our humility to God, a big part of our reverencing God, a big part of our loving God, a big part of that is reverencing His words. So, let's you and I believe the Bible and believe His words. Father, thank you for your wonderful word that gives us such great insight, such great wisdom, that shows us, Father, what is true and what's not true, what is right and what is not right, that gives us, Father, all the profit that we need in our lives, that we could trust you and believe your words and see the great benefits that come to us from trusting and believing you. Thank you for the great privilege of sharing your word this morning. And Father, may we just this week have great reverence for you, for your words, trust you, believe you, and walk with joy in our hearts, knowing that you are our Father because of the completed work of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.